Amen. It doesn't matter where we turn, there was Jesus. Amen. We don't always see it with our eyes, but we know that he's there. Today, as we work through our Advent and we're celebrating the birth of Christ and his peace, you know that peace is brought through the birth of Christ. That's what we're looking at today, is all about peace. And the passage that we're going to be looking at today was a group of people who definitely needed some peace. If you would take your Bibles and open them to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, that's going to come after Psalms and Proverbs, a little bit past that, you will find Isaiah chapter 9. And there was a gentleman by the name of Thomas Mertone, and he was quoted saying this: "We are not at peace with others because we're not at peace with ourselves, and we're not at peace with ourselves because we're not at peace with God." If we are not at peace with God, we cannot be at peace with ourselves. And let me tell you, if we're not at peace with ourselves and there is turmoil and darkness turning over in our life, we're definitely not going to be at peace with others. Something about our fleshly nature wants everybody around us to be just as miserable as we are. But praise God that he sent, through his divine intervention, his Son, that we're celebrating that birth of, to bring that peace, or shall I say, offers peace through that. What is peace? I want us to kind of break down and look at peace in this idea so that we understand what we're talking about, what the whole focus of is today, because there's many different definitions for peace, many different ways that we look at it. Some is like it's just being tranquil, or everything is good. We have no ups and downs. We have no bumps. How many of you have ups and downs and bumps in your life? Let's slip up our hand. I believe that'd be everybody. The Bible tells us we can have peace, so we know peace is not the absence of ups and downs. It's not the absence of bumps. It's not the absence of light or any of that kind of stuff. What is it that we're looking at as peace? But it is a state of tranquility with the idea of wholeness. I've taken before, and maybe some of you in the past, have you ever opened up those boxes of puzzles? Little jigsaw puzzles. And you have to look at the picture on the front if you want to get it right. And you know what? Take your four corners. Those are going to be four corners. Those are obvious. Take all your straight edges. You have the outline. Some of these are 25 pieces, 100 piece, 1,000 piece. I don't know how big they get up. But have you ever taken time, maybe one of those big ones, and you spread it out on the table and you begin to put those pieces together, and maybe it's taking you 2 or 3 days or a week, depending upon how long you work. And how many of you ever gotten all the way down and there's one piece that's missing? That little piece causes some turmoil in your life. I've done all this. Where is it? Many of us have got down on your hands and knees. You've checked under the table. You've looked on the carpet if you're like some. Maybe you lifted the cushions on the couch to only find money instead of the other piece of that puzzle or that cracker that you lost a couple of weeks ago when you were eating. And sometimes you find that piece, and sometimes you have to write the company. And they'll send you that piece. And when you take that last little piece of the jigsaw puzzle and you put it in, and the picture becomes complete and whole, there becomes peace within. Well, that's the same thing that we're looking at today. The peace that is offered through the birth of this perfect baby, God's holy Son, brings peace because he came and died on the cross. And when we're born, we sin. And when we sin, we get separated from the Father. And there is no peace because we're not whole. We were designed to be whole. We were designed to be spirit and soul and body were designed to be connected in a relationship to God, and we're not that away before we receive what's offered through the birth and what was done on that cross. When we receive Christ, we become whole and we receive peace. Yes, we're still going to have ups and downs and bumps, and we're going to still have some dark times in our life. We're still going to have trials and struggles, and there's going to be times that we feel that we're distanced from the Father, just like the people that we're going to look at in our text. But when Jesus came to be that perfect sacrifice, what's represented here is peace. It's represented a wholeness. It's represented God shedding his love, shining light of his love to all mankind. But unfortunately, we know through God's word, and we know through the day that we're living in, not all will receive the peace that's offered through the manger. Would you stand with me this morning as we look at Isaiah chapter 9? Beginning in verse 1, it says, "But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea, on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nations. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence and with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders. The rod of their oppressor is at the battle of Midian. For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Father, I ask now that you would give us that ultimate privilege of allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to us your word. Father, I pray at this moment, Lord, that you would open our minds to the truth of your word. Father, you would help us to understand that truth, to be able to move it to our hearts. And Father, that you would give us the ability and the will to respond to you. Lord God, this morning I just pray that you would help me to speak in a way that only you can. Because, Father, this is your message and not mine. We, your servants, are listening. Speak peace to us today. Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. To understand what's going on here, we have to take a trip. We have to take a journey, and we have to go back into time, because what we're reading from here is the Old Testament. Before Jesus was born, it's a prophecy of about the coming Messiah. But what was going on and who was affected? This is one thing they teach you in preaching. It's called the hermeneutics. You need to understand what it was saying so that you can understand what it's saying today. Now, I have to look. The first thing I want us to talk about is that the birth of Christ offers peace. The birth of Christ offers peace. Well, what was going on? Let's go back. I've got some maps here I want you to take a look at. Let's go to that first map there. If you will notice, I'm going to have to use the little arrow here. in our scripture, it talked about Zebulun and Naphtali. This yellow area right here is Naphtali, and this purple area right here is Zebulun. These are two countries, two tribes of Israel, the territories that were given to these two tribes, and they were been under attack. The Assyrian army, let's go to the next one here. Just want to show you here as we look at this. Here is Assyria. They would have made their way over and come down right into this area right here if Naphtali and Zebulun. So what are we looking at? These would have been the first two tribes that were attacked in an invasion. And they had been attacked by Assyria. They were under the bondage of Assyria. Can you imagine that? Here we are, God's tribes. We're the top. We're the most northern part. We're God's people. He's all for us. Amen? But they've been under attack by Assyria. You know, they've kind of distanced themselves from God. But can you imagine their thought, what is going on to us? There's probably not much hope for them. Definitely not any peace. As we look at Advent, there's no joy or no love going on because they're under attack. But God is giving them a promise through the prophet of Isaiah. Just leave that up there. Let me read to you. It says, there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish in early times. He treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of the Jordan, Galilee. Now, I'm going to click here just a second, and I'll turn it back over to you. Now, remember, here is Naphtali. Here's Zebulun. I want you to look right here at the Sea of Galilee. Now, let me bring up here closer. Here is the Sea of Galilee. And if you were to come right over to this area right here, you'll find the town of Nazareth. By the way of the other side of the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles of the nations. What do we know about Nazareth? Who came from Nazareth? You know in our Christmas story, Mary and Joseph had to travel. Jesus came from Nazareth. So here comes the hope that all of this is pointing to. Now I'll turn this back over to you here. The birth of Christ offers this peace. What is this? Jesus offers peace. This scripture is pointing to Jesus. We know that it's pointing to Jesus. Turn in your Bibles just real quick over to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. And let's read just a couple of verses and see if something sounds familiar. Matthew 4, beginning in verse 13. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people were sitting in darkness, saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death upon them, a light dawned. Jesus is here being referred to as the fulfillment of what Isaiah is telling us. So back over in Isaiah, we know that it is a prophecy. It's a prophecy of Jesus. We know that Jesus fulfilled that prophecy. And he's saying that there was going to be peace. Now for them in that day, what we find amazing in the scriptures that we're looking at this morning, we're going to see a past, a present, and a future. The past, they were needing hope. They were needing hope because they had been overtaken. They were needing peace because they were overtaken. And Jesus was going to be that ultimate fulfillment. God would eventually restore them, but they were in need of peace at that time. And it was present for them, past for us, but they were looking forward to that. Today, in our present age, we are in need of peace. And church, let me tell you, I'm not talking about peace from the darkness that we live in. as far as this world. I'm talking about we need peace from sin. We need a restoration. We need to be made whole. And that only is possible through Jesus Christ. But do you know what else? This passage is also, even for us today, as we're looking at Advent, it's also futuristic. We're still living in the day of part of this being prophecy, because there is going to be a day that Christ returns. And when he returns and takes us home, there's going to be a reign here on earth for 1,000 years. And then there's going to be a time, the Revelation tells us, of a new heaven and a new earth. And then God himself will dwell among the people. See, God's with us today through Holy Spirit. But there's coming a day that his believers, we have hope that we'll be reunited and we will live on a new heaven and a new earth with him. You see, Jesus is the source of peace. Jesus is also the source of light in the darkness. It tells us in verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. They were in a dark time. They were being oppressed. There were people coming in and taking their freedoms and overriding who they were. They were bringing in worship of foreign gods and things that were against God's will. And they were being oppressed, and they were in this dark time, just as we are today. We're living in a dark world all around us. I said, I think, just the other day over at the funeral that we had at Watson and Sons, that all you got to do is turn on the TV, turn on the radio, open a newspaper if you still get that, or look at it on the internet or on whatever electronic device you have, and I don't have to inform you that we're living in dark times. There is a remnant of light for believers that are here, but I tell you, the majority of the people living right now are in darkness. We have a dark time in our government. We're in a time of transition. It seems that our government has missed the mark of what it was originally founded for. But yet, here we are, we're living, and you know, we live in dark times because I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes they say confession's good for the soul, but not the reputation. I need to confess something to you this morning. I still struggle with sin. I have darkness that comes upon me. I'm tempted. And Paul even talked about that, doing the things he didn't want to do and the things he wanted to do, he didn't do. So, you know, we're in this oppressive state, this darkness. We need light, because light comes in and it dispels the darkness. When light shines all around us, as we talked about last week, when we do our Christmas Eve communion service here, I just love it, because we'll, at the end, when we get our candles out, it's just totally dark. I wish I could cover up what little bit of light's in here, but we can get it as dark where you can't even see the hand in front of your face. And just one candle dispels the darkness. Now, it might not be bright, but it's no longer darkness. You see, we were in a world that when Christ was born, light entered in, and it dispelled the darkness. And as we receive that light, it dispels the darkness that's within us. Jesus stated in John 8:12, said, "Then Jesus spoke these things to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" They were in the middle of a ceremony where the light was carried through town, and Jesus was prophesying to himself as they were looking for the coming Messiah, and he was right there in front of them. He said, "I am the light." He says, "I'm the light of the world." In church, when Christ comes in us, we're no longer in the darkness. We're still tempted. We still struggle. But the light dispels darkness. And Jesus is also the source of gladness. As we look at this idea of the birth of Christ offers peace, look at verse 3. It says, "You shall multiply the nations, you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence and with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Can you imagine these tribes of God being under attack. They've been taken over by a foreign king who is ruling them. They feel that there's no more hope. There's no more peace. We're not going to go anywhere. Things are just going down. That sucked the joy right out of them. But here they're being prophesied that one's coming. And they would know that at a time that Jesus was coming and he would save them and their land would continue to produce fruit and they would continue to multiply. You see, in our lives in the present time, it can be doom and despair if we just hit rewind on our life. Thank God I don't have the rewind where I can rewatch it. Satan seems to have some kind of rewind in my mind sometimes. But we know that there's hope. And that there's peace and that we will go and be with him. And it says they will increase their gladness. We have gladness through that. But not only did the land feel that they were defeated and that God had forgotten them. Isaiah is prophesying, he's foretelling that one's coming. And even out of that area, out of Nazareth, which is in that Galilee area, the Savior of the world is coming. And church, today we can have gladness knowing that one day he's coming back for us again, amen? But also, I tell you this many times, I want you to hear this. We're living in heaven now because heaven's where God is. We're living a heaven on earth because God is with us. So we do have gladness even now. Secondly, the birth of Christ offers justice. You see, they were in need of justice. Verses 4 and 5 says, "For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff of their shoulders. The rod of their oppressor is at the battle of Midian." They were under an oppression. They were under a bondage. And that was needing to be broken. And the only way it was going to be done is through God's intervention. God's people. God provides for them. It's the past. Let's bring it to the present. Living a life without Jesus, there is a yoke of oppression on us. We're bound to the dominion of, under the rule of Satan. When Christ is not in our life, we are bound and on a road that has one exit, and that's hell. And there is a hope. And there is a peace through this birth and the life that was represented here that if we receive that, that Jesus will offer justice. He will come, and not only as he broke theirs, he will break the yoke of oppression off of us. He removes the burden. He removes the burden because as sin enters our life, we have a burden because we are bound against God until that burden is forgiven. Till the penalty is paid. I'm sure you remember a time as a child. Maybe you did something wrong. If you were like me, sometimes your mom would say, "Just wait till Dad gets home." There's a little bit of oppression. I know I've done something wrong. I know that there's a penalty coming for that. But yet, through this birth, he took our penalty of sin. He took our penalty of death, and he washed it away. You see, the burden was lifted. Our burden of sin and death was lifted. They needed oppression. Our oppression has been lifted. Listen to this. I love this. It took me a while to figure this one out, but also through the birth of Jesus, the war was lifted. It said, "For every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning, for fuel, for the fire." So for every warrior who is in the boots marching in battle, and for the cloaks that have been through battle and have been stained in blood, he was saying that they would be used for burning, for fuel for the fire. What is he talking about? But he is here talking about a futuristic standpoint for them and one for us, that there's coming a day that we will not need battle anymore because the war will be over. We don't need the boots for battle, the clothes that have been stained through all that. They're going to be used for fire, it said, because when God comes back in that second coming and he establishes a new heaven and a new earth, there is going to be no sin. There is going to be no battle. There is going to be, as Revelation says, no more crying, no more tears. Amen? We're going to be reunited with Him. We're going to see our loved ones that have received Christ again. We don't have to worry for today. We're looking forward to that because the battle has been won. This battle of sin in our life, let me tell you something. The battle of sin in your life was won on Calvary. But unfortunately, we put ourselves back in the battle. The dominion of Satan no longer rules over a believer. We have that freedom. He has done away with that. And thirdly, the birth of Christ offers righteousness. I love this verse 6. I'm going to read it to you, but let me tell you one thing about verse 6. We see two major key elements or theological points about Christ. And that is, we're going to see His deity, and we're going to also see His humanity. Listen to this. For a child will be born to us. There's His humanity. Jesus came, clothed over His glory in flesh. He was born of a virgin. There's His humanity. He put on flesh. He's just like us. And then it says, a son will be given to us. That is His deity, a son, the Son of God. Church, that's important. Christ is the Son of God. He is God. Christ is also all man because He has a humanity side to Him. It says, for a child will be born, a son given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders. Christ came because He had to be like one of us. To be that ultimate sacrifice, He had to come and become man. He had to become man to show us the way so that we would see. You might have recalled, I'm going to quickly tell this, I might have shared a few years ago about a man on Christmas Eve, I think it was, and a snow blizzard come in, and a bunch of geese got lost. And they were in his area, and he knew that they were going to die. The only hope for those geese, the only peace, the only way to save their life would be to get them into some shelter and some warmth. So he knew that he would go out there, and he had opened the door. Well, guess what? The birds just went everywhere. They scattered. He tried to shoo them in. He tried everything he could do, and they wouldn't do. They just kept running off, and he kept getting worried about them. What's going to happen? And he got to think, he said, I'm scaring them. He said, the only way to lead them to safety is to become like one of them. And he went out there and he got some things and he kind of began to flap and began to look like those geese. And he began to follow in. And as he went in, they all began to follow. You see, if the glory of God was just a show right here, I believe it would probably scare us. It is so mighty and so powerful. But not only that, He had to come and become one of us so that we could see Him, so that He could live life just as we do, because He can't pay the price. But He came and He was perfect. And He paid that ultimate price. The government will rest on His shoulders. Listen to these beautiful names that depict who He is. And His name will be called Wonderful, Wonderful Counselor. You see, God is in no need of help. He is the one who counsels. Mighty God, above all others, eternal Father, not everlasting. There is a difference between eternal and everlasting. Eternal has no beginning, no end. Everlasting lasts forever. God is eternal. The Bible tells us in the beginning was. God wasn't created. He's always been there. Explain that to me. Well, you go ahead and you try to explain it to me. But I have to tell you that it's the truth. We don't understand that because we live in time. But God has always been, and He says, Prince of Peace. And all of this happens through the zeal of the Lord. Listen to this from Thomas Watson. It said, if God be our God, He will give us peace in trouble. When there is a storm without, He will make peace within. The world can create trouble and peace, but God can create peace in trouble. I remember when we began this morning, I told you that peace is